T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drodo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Drodo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the championship rounds of Drodo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. As always, a thank you from us to you for continuing to support this fine program. We couldn't do it without you. Now, it's a Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Freedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. And with that in mind, Anthony Slater is going to join us to talk about Game 5 in about 5 minutes. Alex Boone will join us to talk all things NFL draft in about a half hour, right around 9:30 to 9:35. Hard to believe we haven't even gotten into this yet. We've covered the Sharks. We will talk about Game 7 again. But right now, we've got to at least devote a couple minutes, shockingly enough, to the 14-point favorite Golden State Warriors. Game 5 tonight against the Clippers. Tip time, 7:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. As always, all Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Philly up 3-1 coming home, handled business in a big way. Toronto up 3-1 coming home, handled business in a big way. Portland up 3-1 coming home, handled business in a big, big way with the way that one ended.
Yeah.
Warriors and Rockets both looking to do the same tonight. Will they both succeed?
Yes, and I think they'll both succeed in very convincing fashion, particularly the Warriors. I think Utah is going to put up more resistance, but ultimately Houston at home, it's closing time. They're going to hammer them. I see the Warriors doing things to the Clippers that we haven't seen the Warriors do in this postseason and in quite some time. You're going to see them come out determined defensively and exert. They already kind of figured out Lou Williams, the way to defend him. You had Clay, you had Iguodala. They were dogging him all over the place. Montrezl Harrell's come back to earth. I see the Warriors in an absolute one-sided shellacking of the Clippers tonight.
People are betting them. It's up to 14.5. That is a massive number. I mean, not only do you have to cover it, but then you have to hold on for dear life at the end.
Yeah, it scares me. I'm like,
it's a huge number.
Don't be scared.
You just came over here and just like this rained on my little parade, talking about God. You see him just massively just motorboating.
It's a boating.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
a 14
one way to get from LA to the Bay Area is by boat.
Yeah. So you look
turn right at Catalina. You head out into the water, and you get to Catalina, and go ahead and head north from there. It's nice and picturesque and scenic.
Appreciate the directions.
Yeah, no worries. Don't go too far west. You'll wind up in Hawaii. But I think that's what you're looking at tonight, Lo. I think if I was going to be somebody making some sort of a wager, I would particularly look at that first half number, because we've seen the Warriors with big leads in this series at times show a lack of focus. But early in the game, defensively, and you talked about first quarter margin for this team.
I'm looking for it right now.
I think it's 11 a game.
They are plus 44 in the first quarter of this series, which means they're outscoring them by an average of 11 points per first quarter.
11.
Plus 65 in the first half. They're winning the first half by an average of 15.5 points per first half. Maybe that's the play tonight.
Maybe.
Maybe they're going to be like a 7 or 8 point first half favorite. You play that. The first quarter, you're probably laying like 4 or 5. That's a lot of points in the first quarter.
It is.
It's such a small sample. It opens up the door to randomness.
It is. And you're going to end it tonight, and you want to end it tonight. And early, you're going to probably get their best shot. And you look at it saying, okay, what Warrior team? You know the Warriors, they're not going to have a letdown, but they're going to play solid defense. Do you see them coming out just lighting it up? And it's hard to judge that, you know, this Clipper team's going to scratch. They're going to fight. Are they undermanned? Absolutely. Just don't know, man. We know the Warriors are winning this game. Like you said, Joe, 14.5 is a big number, and even 4 or 5 points in a quarter or 8.5 is tough too.
It is tough, but I think you look at all of the various factors that are going to go into this. Already, you're feeling, if you're a Golden State Warrior player, you're feeling like you shouldn't even really be in this game because you were so much better than the Clippers throughout. If it wasn't for that 31-point historically blown lead, you would already be chilling playing golf if you're all these Warriors who love to golf. So you're already motivated to know that this series should have been over. And I think you also look at the earlier game today because you have the Rockets on display at 5 o'clock Pacific. Your Warrior game won't start until that Rocket game's over. So if Houston does go out and do what we expect them to do, which is end that series, the Warriors are going to have just an extra bit of motivation to also match the Rockets and end their series as well.
I got to tell you, I'm not ready. We've been talking about the same two things for months, and I'm not ready. The draft is tomorrow. I don't know if I want Bosa or Williams. I'm all twisted up there. And tonight, there's a very good chance that the Warriors and Rockets are both going to win, and those two are getting ready to dance this weekend. I'm not ready. I don't feel ready.
Well, people get ready because the series is a coming, and it's coming soon.
I mean, a lot of booze. That's to get through this thing.
I'm excited about that series. I really am. This is a series, Joe, that both these teams have been looking forward to it. This series, you look at what happened and look what took place last year. You had a motivated Rocket team that had home court that took it to Game 7, and you had a guy in Chris Paul. We understand who he is. That he was taking their cornbread. He's shimmying, doing stuff, running down the sideline, showing him the shimmy. And they believe they had him. They really believe if Chris Paul doesn't get injured, I think the majority of the league says that happens. So I think you're going to have a motivated.
Shame it broke against him when you think about it. Real shame it broke against Chris Paul there.
And it's great that it did because I think if it didn't break, I think that the motivation now is for the Warriors to go out there and show, no, I don't care if you had Chris Paul, this is still what was going to happen. And I think they know that, the Warriors know that, and the Rockets are a team that we know that's not afraid of them.
Anthony Slater is our Warriors insider from The Athletic. He's joining us now here on 95.7 The Game. Anthony, good morning, and as always, thank you for your time. I'd like to start with Draymond Green. After the last game, was seen with a bit of a cast or a splint on his hand. Is everything okay there?
Yeah, he had an MRI, but it came back clean. He practiced yesterday. He'll play tonight, so he's fine.
Everybody full go then, and should we expect to see Andrew Bogut back in the starting lineup and getting about the same amount of minutes that we've seen since DeMarcus Cousins went out?
Yeah, I mean, it's been working really well. I'm curious about Bogut in the next round, you know, how he survives against Houston's attack, but he fits well against the Clippers, and they're not going to change anything up. Just, you know, I mean, the talent discrepancy is so big. I think they're just going to kind of try to go to that same game three, game four formula and close it out.
Have we seen the Clippers' best shot that they gave the Warriors and that was last game when they lost by 8? Was that a game that you gave their best, or can you see this Clipper team come out tonight motivated and wanting to make a statement?
Well, their best shot was probably 2, right? You know, that frantic comeback. You know, they could get more from Gallinari. He's had a really bad series, and he was probably he's their best scorer most of the year. Lou Williams can have a much better game than he did in 3 and 4. The Warriors kind of found a way to slow him down and then really attack him on the other end. Montrezl Harrell can be more effective than he was. But, you know, I mean, I think everyone at this point, even the Clippers, are probably looking ahead to the offseason a little bit. The Warriors are kind of looking ahead to Houston.
Anthony Slater from The Athletic joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Steph has found himself in quite a bit of foul trouble over the course of this series. 4 straight games with 4 or more fouls. Every season of his career, every postseason of his career, he's never averaged more than 3 fouls per game in any of those scenarios. So I'm wondering, is this something that's going to carry over into the Houston series? Because if he's committing more fouls and he's going to be marking Harden, Harden's drawn fouls at a historic rate, that could make for some trouble early in games against Houston.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Houston's seeing this too, and particularly James Harden. And if Steph gets in foul trouble, that just changes the game. It jumbles up their rotation. It takes Steph out of rhythm. You know, Steph loves to kind of like ease into the game a little bit and then really burst at the end of that first quarter, and it gets him in rhythm for the rest of the game. When his rotation starts getting toggled around, you know, you saw it the other night, what, he finished 3 of 14 shooting. That doesn't matter against the Clippers, as we've seen, just because of how wide the talent gap is. But you get in foul trouble in a game 4 against Houston, and then you go 3 of 14, and you lose that game that you previously would have won. That changes the series and that can basically end your season in a sense. So, that's a huge, I'd say that's maybe like a top five factor to watch, heading into that series.
And also when you look at the bench, does that mean more minutes for Sean Livingston, a guy who is starting to maybe show his age a little bit? And can they turn to Quinn Cook in a series against a Houston team where he's going to have to guard either Paul or James Harden at times?
Yeah, that's going to be harder. Quinn Cook was kind of, filtered out of the rotation last year against Houston because Houston's just going to attack weak links. And by the end of that Houston series, you probably remember, I mean, Houston was playing like seven guys. The Warriors were playing eight, and everyone was playing big, into the 40s type minutes. And that's probably honestly what would happen. It's just, Iguodala would play more point. And that's one place where the Warriors kind of have the luxury of, they don't have to play their backup point guards. If their kind of backs are against the wall, they can just make Durant play some point, Iguodala play some point, Draymond could basically play some point. But still, I mean, you want Steph on the floor, and you want Steph in rhythm. And when he gets in foul trouble and he's frustrated and he's coming in and out of the lineup, he's just not in rhythm. And then he's kind of playing a little bit hesitant defensively, and then Harden's attacking him. Like, that really would change the game.
Who plays a bigger role in this playoff? Is it this next series with the Rockets? Is it McKinnon or is it Cook?
McKinney. He's just longer, and in the regular season he played more against Houston just because they're more comfortable with him switching. He's on PJ Tucker, then he's on James Harden, then he gets switched on to Chris Paul. Like, they're more comfortable with a bigger, stronger body out there doing that. Plus, I think he's been solid against the Clippers. He had a couple nice moments the other night. He had a pretty big putback to start the fourth quarter. He's not going to play like 20-ish minutes, but I think they're fine with him on the floor for 8-9 minutes just because what he can do defensively.
Anthony Slater joining us here on 95.7 The Game. The Bogut signing has been huge, and he's looked fantastic, especially on the glass in this series. I think he's averaging close to 9 rebounds per game. I mean, is it that far-fetched to think next year he does the same thing, plays in Australia, and then joins the Warriors late in the season?
It depends. It depends on where the Warriors are and where Bogut is and what kind of season he has in Australia, how he feels. The Warriors could look very different next year, as we all know, the summer coming up. But it's not far-fetched to think. I think both sides are kind of learning this is a really nice formula for them. Let him kind of ease his way in, stay in shape in Australia, and then, if the Warriors need a center come March next year, I don't know why they wouldn't go back to this well.
Trust is something that takes a long time to build in certain situations, and Jordan Bell is a guy who's had the trust of the coaching staff, lost it, and gotten it back no fewer than probably 75 times. Where are the Warriors coaches right now as far as trusting Jordan Bell to play meaningful minutes in the next series?
I mean, they don't necessarily want to go to that place, as you've seen. I mean, you lose Cousins and he's not getting any minutes in this Clippers series, but he wasn't getting any minutes before the Rockets series last year. I believe it was game two of that Rockets series. I think Looney got in foul trouble. They threw Bell out there and he hadn't played in a while. And he played well. And then he played deep into that series and he played in the NBA finals. So, you never know, but at this point, I mean, I don't think Steve Kerr necessarily wants to throw him out there.
So if you're saying you're not necessarily throwing him out there, and we talk about, Livingston, have shown that he's kind of slowed down. You look at Iguodala, he's been consistent. What about the coaching matchup heading into this series? How do you see that, and what is going to be some of the intimate spots of the coaching chess match?
Yeah, it's always interesting how it kind of, formulates over the series, and also just the personal history between the two is always interesting. With Steve Kerr used to be Mike D'Antoni's boss in Phoenix, but I'm curious to see who comes out with more desperation early. I could see D'Antoni going right away to like a 7-man, 8-man rotation. Houston is going to come in knowing they need to steal one of those first two in Oracle. And, does Steve Kerr kind of play it almost like a regular season game in game one? And he's, giving his main guys, 34 minutes, 35 minutes, and he's going normal rotation. And then if they get jumped and blitzed right in game one, I mean, that changes the complexion of the series. So I'm just, to me, from a coaching standpoint, I just want to see what type of desperation both sides come out with.
Any word on whether or not Klay Thompson has jumped into the ocean since returning to the Bay Area?
No word, although yesterday was Earth Day, or 2 days ago, I guess, when they had the off day. So he would have had the shot, and it was actually It was warm enough here for a rare time where
you've nice.
Done it, probably. So.
Ocean barely in the upper 50s, though, which might be a deal breaker when it comes to getting in there. But certainly, Clay was hot enough in game four that maybe he needed to cool off. About his defensive prowess, though, Anthony, are we at a point where maybe he's going to receive some accolades on the all-defensive team, or is he and the Warriors resigned to the reality that he's just not going to get that run, partly because of with whom he plays in Golden State?
Oh, I voted him all defense, and I know a lot of people that did. I don't know if he'll end up getting it. You know, there were a lot of guards up there. You know, Marcus Smart, Eric Bledsoe had a really good year, Danny Green. I mean, there are a lot of candidates for those all-defensive teams, but I could see him making that. That where he, you know, his problem is I don't think he'll make the actual all-NBA team where, you know, he was maybe in the running for a third-team guard spot. But because he, as you mentioned, all the talent he plays with, I'm not sure he'll ever make an all-NBA team.
He's our Warriors insider from The Athletic, Anthony Slater, with us here on 95.7 The Game. We appreciate the time and insights, as always, Anthony. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game tonight.
Yep, thanks, fellas.
Speaking of Klay Thompson and Earth Day, take a listen to this.
Since it being Earth Day yesterday, I hope more people now get out, especially the younger generation. We, including myself, have a tough time with technological devices and addiction. So I hope that spurs some kids to get outside and enjoy the fruits of nature.
You gotta love the dude.
It's such a great message. I don't know why I find that so funny.
Just the way he pays it off with, and enjoy the fruits of nature. That's what makes it so funny, because the message is right. And it's kids, get off your phones, go outside, and enjoy not the sunshine, not the fresh air or the ocean, the fruits of nature.
He's such a likable dude. He's just such a likable guy. Max Money. I can't believe we even have these discussions. You got to keep him around. You can't even consider it going any other way. Which, by the way, how is all this going to play out? If they're all going to make their announcements on their own, I think that's great. Control the message. Do your own thing. I'm all for it. Can we at least get a heads up on when it may be coming? It is that holiday week. I'm planning on, you know, consuming those messages, Kevin Durant's message, Klay Thompson's message. I would just like to know so we're able to talk about them. And in a positive way. We've said it before. Durant ends up leaving. Thanks for everything. You came here and delivered two, and we're looking at a third title. No sour grapes. Best of luck to you. Now, you'll come back and you'll probably get booed, but not because people genuinely dislike you, because that's kind of what has to happen. You got to get needled a little bit.
Yeah.
That's okay. No big deal. It's not going to be like the OKC thing. No. But can we at least get a heads up that, like, the announcement's coming in 2 days? Then it's like, all right, we can brace for this. We can get organized. Last thing you want is this announcement coming out of nowhere. Take a cue from what the NBA is doing. It's foolish having this free agency period open at 12:01 a.m. Monday morning of a holiday week. Pick a good spot so you can get maximum exposure. That's what I would say. Now, maybe you want it to slide into the news cycle, but I would not imagine that's what any of these guys like to do. They love to do things big and grandiose. So just one little request.
I think Klay Thompson will have his decision early in the process. KD, I think, is going to make you wait. I think he's going to drag you out to the fourth and maybe even beyond. But I think Klay, unless the Warriors do something unheard of, which would be a really low ball offer. I know you think that I'm of the low ball camp, low, because I don't necessarily want to walk a max right to his door at 12:01.
Cheap camp.
Like Mark Jackson said, and like you have intimated, that got ignored. I'm not in cheap camp.
I didn't get ignored. You just addressed it.
I had to address it because you're staring at me, Joe. I couldn't let that go. I had to address the fact that I didn't address it. Therefore, I did address it. You got me there. I think that obviously if they say here's a max at 12:01, then the announcement comes Monday morning right when we get on the air at 6 a.m. But I think it's going to be longer than that, but it'll be before the 4th.
It's interesting. It doesn't behoove me. It's interesting how you wanted to give you gave a guy who was had won seven games, and Jimmy G, you made him the highest paid quarterback.
I didn't.
Well,
this is interesting. You wanted to do this yesterday. You were a segment late, but now you see your window again to come back to it, and you're bringing it back to the forefront. I like it, and you do have a few minutes to pull this off. I like this.
To me, it's just hard for me to understand and fathom how you're on this approach that, hey, he's this quarterback. He should get paid. And the guy got paid for a day or two. He was the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. But yet and still, you have a proven commodity. A guy who's been here not for one, not two, but three championships, and also has been here and been a staple in his community. Wanted a defensive one, a great defender, can light it up, 37-point quarter. And it's like, wow, Now you're saying, don't give this guy a max, but I'd rather have given it to Jimmy G. Let me rather give a guy
very interesting. You were excited about giving a lot of money to Garoppolo, almost sight unseen.
Yes. Did I suggest that the 49ers should give Jimmy G the max? No, I didn't, because there is no max.
Was
so,
it pretty much the
max? No. I let you go for a minute there, and you tried to assault me and my character. First of all, Joe was the one who was at the front of the line talking about giving Jimmy G money. So
that's
for you,
real.
For you to come at me just shows your cowardice, because you don't really want to go to the king. You go to the court jester
no, but I've
instead.
Been, but I've been all for the max on Clay. I haven't wavered. I wanted big money for Garoppolo,
but he's,
and max
he's
money for Clay.
He's misportraying me as being the guy at the front of the line, and that's where I take offense in the first part here. And secondly, I'll say this to you. Klay Thompson's not the best player on this team. He's not the second best player on this team.
Jimmy
so
G
for
isn't.
You to just open up the purse strings and just open up
Niners?
With a max contract shows
question.
Your inability to really negotiate deals.
All right. Good points, but you still do have to address the question. I would like to hear you
well,
address
I didn't
the
question because I was still making my point before you tried to so rudely interrupt
the
me.
The original question, why were you so in favor of Garoppolo, not saying it was wrong, but in favor of Garoppolo making top dollar pretty much for the position with such a little sample size, and Clay with a much greater sample size, not in favor of top dollar?
Because Jimmy Garoppolo plays a more important position than Clay Thompson does. If Clay Thompson's no longer on the Warriors, but you have Steph, KD, and Draymond, your team is stronger than if the 49ers would have had Bethard and Nick Mullins at quarterback. So for me, the need and what quarterback brings you makes it so that position is going to get more money than Clay Thompson, the guy who's the third, maybe the fourth best player on your team.
I find that to be a reasonable response. I find it to be reasonable. I don't agree.
It's reasonable, but with all due respect, I just think that when you make this quarterback assumption that he's the best on the team, I think you're wrong. I think that he's not the second best. I don't know if he's even the third best.
Who is the best 49er?
It's freaking the guy in the middle, Forrest Buckner. And now probably
that's pretty good.
And probably second guy is probably Kittle. I mean, I can go on, but I'm just
please do go on. What I said was the quarterback
53 right now.
The quarterback is the most important position on the team. That's what I said.
To some, but here's the thing you have to realize. When you're saying that, when you're saying that Clay's not just as important to as Jimmy G the Niners, I disagree with that. But I just think that you're quick to get Jimmy G, and with Clay Thompson, what he's shown you and what he's done, I think it's merit of max deal.
Well, I'm not saying you lowball Clay Thompson. You pay him a nice contract, but you don't necessarily have to give him the max.
All right, we can continue.
With all due respect.
If you'd like to weigh in, who do you side with, low or dibs? Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Who do you side with, low, L-O, or dibs, D-I-B-S? Or you can also go with dibs, D-I-M-S. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. All those shenanigans brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Join Lorenzo Neal, Greg Papa, Damon Bruce, Bonte Hill, and Joe Fortenball, plus surprise celebrity guests. Now, it could be Jennifer Lawrence.
Could be.
I have not heard a no on Jennifer Lawrence. I also haven't heard a yes, so I'm going to make that clear. But celebrity guests could be any guest. And it does say celebrity, so I'm expecting there to be some name value. George Clooney, perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe Obama.
Rosemary Clooney, perhaps.
Yeah. This could literally be thousands, if not millions, of people. However, it could also not be any of them. So join all of us, plus celebrity guests. Like I said, could be Jennifer Lawrence for our 2019 draft special, live from the Mezzanine Lounge at the New Virgin Hotels, San Francisco, located at 244th Street across from the Moscone Center. This place looks awesome. I haven't been inside yet. I've driven by and ridden the bike by. It looks outstanding from the outside. Coverage is going to start at noon. Papa, Bonte, and Lowe. Full details, 957thegame.com. Come down and watch the draft with us. Should be a good one this year, too. The local picks are early, and then we can all just get it in.
Joe, I had to bring this up. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely.
The 916, it says, I side with Dems just on principle of not siding with Lowe.
Text of the day nominee.
Sounds like a voter in an election. Don't care about the candidate, just hate the other side.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
I'm siding with Dibs just because I can't side with Lowe.
My gosh.
Chilton Auto Body text line strikes again, 95795. To the phones, 8-year NFL veteran, former 49er offensive lineman, good friend of the program, Alex Boone with us here on 95.7 The Game. Alex, happy spring. How's life treating you?
Everything is great. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing well, and it's great to have you on this time of year because Lowe likes to tell stories of what it was like getting ready for the draft and, you know, what he was thinking, what he was experiencing. For you, when this time of year comes around, what kind of memories does it conjure up?
Oh, tough ones, because believe me, I pissed my opportunity down the drain through college. I was not a good kid, and, you know, it was tough, but at the end of the day, it was hard work, and I was excited to be in the league, so I didn't care.
How excited are you as a former 49er looking at the team with the number 2 overall pick? If you're in the draft room and you're going through all the scenarios, what would be your play for the 49ers at 2 tonight, tomorrow?
I mean, so I've thought about this for a while because, you know, I love the Niners. And I was on NFL Network a couple months ago and I was talking about it. I thought Tevin Coleman's going to be huge for this team and how much I loved it. But I think there's two scenarios in my mind that I feel like. I feel like if Bosa's there at 2, you have to take him. This kid has a nose for the football, and you throw him into this D-line, and it could get scary. I mean, you're talking about Dee Ford, DeForest Buckner. Maybe this will bring Solomon Thomas up a little bit. And then you add in a Nick Bosa. I think that could be huge. But another thing I could see them doing is trading back a little bit. I think that there are teams right now that want to be very aggressive. I think that, you know, a lot of people are saying quarterbacks are going to come off the board quick, and I think that they are as well. So I think there's going to be a lot of trading going on. If you can trade back and get more ammunition to gear up somewhere else and add a great rusher, I mean, I think you'd be great.
All right, let me ask you this. As someone who played for the Niners, I'd love to get your perspective here. Bosa went through his Twitter feed recently and pretty much cleaned up anything that involved politics or anything that could have made him look bad. He's pro Donald Trump, and he had some comments that were disparaging against Colin Kaepernick, so he went through and cleaned them up. Now, we've seen so many young guys where people have gone through their Twitter feeds, found stupid tweets, put them out there, and then we've blasted these people. We say, why don't they clean up their Twitter feeds? Bosa goes and cleans his up, and everyone gets upset. They say, stand by your opinion. Some of the concern is that playing in San Francisco with those political views could be an issue. Do you see something like that possibly being an issue?
No, not at all. I mean, listen, it's America. It's a free country. People get to do what they want. I don't understand why he deleted them because, like you, I think it just brought more attention to it. Like, it's kind of like, hey, listen, you know that once you delete it, people still saw it and still took screenshots of it and still have it in their memory and still Google it up. I mean, I just think that might have caused more attention. I get why he's doing it. You know, when you talk to these guys, sometimes I had the good privilege of talking to Quinnen Williams on Sirius, and you know, the way they talk now, they're just so political and they have to be right. And there's so many people telling them what to do that at the end of the day, I'm sure somebody was like, hey, we got to clean this up. That's how he feels. That's what he believes. Who cares? He's just a football player. You know, these teams, they don't care anymore. They're not like, hey, listen, he's a conservative. We can't draft him. They don't care. He gets sacks. He makes production. Pick him up.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that, hey, it's freedom of speech. Let guys be who they are. As long as they're not out hurting people, I totally agree with you. Compare and contrast these two guys. We'll look at Quinnen Williams. You see what he brings to the table. You look at Nicky Bosa. How do you block? Give us the pros and cons how to block a guy like that. How would you block these two guys, and what do they both bring to the table?
You know, I think they both bring a lot of energy, and they both have a nose for the football. The one thing I noticed about Quinnen Williams is, when he's in the middle, he can take on a double team like somebody I've never seen before. I mean, the guy is great at it. But at the same time, he has that pass rush ability. I think that's so important for people to understand because when I came in the league, D tackles were not pass rushers. I mean, I remember
you
go away, you would sit there and laugh and be like, this guy's 380 pounds. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
I'm just gonna hit him. Now you get a 380 pounder that can move. And you're like, hey, wait a minute. Now I got to start thinking again. But with Nick Bosa, you get a guy on the edge and you put Dee Ford on the other side of him, I think that could be dangerous. I mean, I think you have to start to wonder which is the lesser of two evils, you know, and then all of a sudden it's a guessing game and what are we going to do and how are they going to attack us? And you start throwing out some of these nickel fronts and it could get really exciting.
Would this remind 49er fans of the Justin Smith, Alden Smith days where Justin Smith was such a force that Alden Smith was able to flourish and thrive because of the pressure in the interior?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that automatically drew me to Nick Bosa. And thinking of DeForest Buckner, because I played DeForest, and you want to talk about a player that is physical and loves to just hit you and has great hips, hands, and feet. And then you throw in a Nick Bosa next to him, and all of a sudden it becomes a real problem. But then you got D Ford on the other side with Solomon Thomas in the inside. There's just so many problems in there that you have to start to go, hey, listen, now if they walk the mic up, now we're all going 5-0 and everybody's on their own. That's a real problem. So, you know, they both have their positives. I don't think either of them have a negative. I think the one negative that I thought of with Quinnen Williams is if you bring Quinnen in, what do you do with Arik Armstead?
It's a great question. Some have thought maybe he can move out to the other DN position opposite D Ford as the Leo, but I mean, I don't know if that's the size much. Fits. There was a suggestion of that, but I don't know if that'd be the right fit.
No, I think the only thing you really could do is, and I hate to say this, but you might have to trade him. I mean, you're sitting there and you're looking around. Who's the odd man out of this conversation?
Lowe's been saying that too. You guys are in the same camp, same church,
think,
as we would say.
I think they got a lot of. They have a plethora of defensive linemen. Big boy, I think that there should be some trade. I think I wouldn't be surprised if there's some trades going on tomorrow night.
I agree 100%, but the problem becomes now his salary and what he's done, his production.
Sure.
So now if you start talking about a trade, is he worth what he's done? Now I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying,
understood.
As a GM, I turn around and I go, hey, listen, are we gonna pay him all this money? And we really haven't seen much from him. But at the end of the day, if we could bring him into our system and make him our guy, make him the guy, maybe it changes things. Maybe we make him the center focal piece of this defense. You know what I mean? Now you're looking at this defense. You have DeForest Buckner, who's just taken off. And it's just everybody loves him. And I see why. He's a great player. He's a great person. But at the end of the day, if you draft another interior D lineman, you got too many in there. And now all of a sudden we start getting a little rift between guys because I want my playing time and you need yours. And he's better. And he's better. It's just too much.
Alex Boone joining us here on 95.7 The Game. The Niners schedule came out last week. We, of course, overanalyzed the heck out of that thing. Give me your thoughts first 3 weeks. You're going to open on the road at Tampa Bay. It's going to be very hot, but it is going to be a late start. Week two on the road at Cincinnati. That's Cincinnati's only home game for their first 4 weeks. And then you come home for the home opener against the Steelers before the bye. What's a reasonable record heading into that bye?
3-0.
You think they can go 3-0?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, I say this. A lot of things could happen from now to then. The Buccaneers, I see them going through some transitional things. You know, they're kind of worried about, is Gerald McCoy going to be here? He's a big part of their defense. They've obviously lost Quan Alexander to the 49ers, who I thought was a great player for them. It's going to be a great player for the 49ers. Bruce Arians is there with Jameis Winston. While that seems dangerous to me, at the end of the day, I see the Niners winning that game. Cincinnati, I feel like, is going through the same thing. New coach, new transition. I've never been a big fan of Andy Dalton, so I just don't see him shocking me week two. And the Steelers week three is going to be a great game, but at the end of the day, I still see the Niners being the better team.
8-year NFL vet, former 49ers offensive lineman, good friend of the program, Alex Boone, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Alex, we always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for coming on. Take care, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys.
I love talking with him.
Me too. I mean, my bet's looking better and better.
Which one? There's so many of them that are out there.
Yeah. The one that, you know, I think there's two. One is that this team, and will they win five games? I think that he just said that they got a better chance of winning those three than losing those three that me went back and forth.
Oh, remember this bet with you and Dibs?
Yeah, there's a lot.
One round trip, first class airfare ticket to Europe in exchange for another foot rub.
Yes.
And in Europe, you've singled out which
Prague.
City? Prague is
the city
you fly to.
Now, this is not a bet that has been consummated
Correct.
In any way, shape, or form. Just to
no,
be
no, no.
No. And I would appreciate it if you used your headphones for something other than ear warming, because a lot of times the audio comes through then and it doesn't really go into your brain and collect it. You gather so much information throughout the course of your day, yet you're not a very good listener, Lo, because what I said is, I'm going to wait for the draft. I'm going to wait for the remainder of free agency. I'm going to wait for OTAs and for teams to actually report to camp before I make any bet of this level of significance. So go ahead and slow your roll, pump your brakes, buy yourself some Q-tips, and try paying attention.
I'm surprised you haven't tried to weasel out of this at all. That you're so, I mean, once you saw that the ticket cost $7,000... I was surprised that you didn't think, you know what? Dibs hasn't made the bet. I'll pull it off the table. I'm going to get out of this thing.
Oh, Abe Lincoln. I cut down.
You going to go Robbie
tree.
Gold on me and pull the contract off the table?
Oh, my God. The greatest line ever of his. Did you just catch that?
Abe Lincoln.
He goes, old Abe Lincoln. I cut down that cherry tree.
That was incredible.
Let it rest. That's a beautiful, beautiful piece
of
audio.
I'm sorry I stepped on that genius, because that was true genius.
But it's just a several thing.
I'd love to go back in history and erase everything but you from that equation.
Yes. Man.
It's just so many things, Zib, that we have fun with. I remember these things. One was the Niners have a better chance. You said they wouldn't win five chance they would win five games. The other was you don't think that they would only have one game by week seven. I think that that was the other one that you talked about. You saying
I said they could be 1-5,
right,
going into week seven because they have the bye week early.
Absolutely, and then
it'd be 1-5 after week seven then. Because you'd be 1-5 with a bye. Something like that.
So it was just a couple different
things. It's not an easy schedule.
No, it's not. But it's just a couple things that we talked about that it just resonates when, you know, that we talked about. And just the 8 wins, the 5 wins, 8 wins that I have.
You had 8 wins, but you said there was 3 games that could go either way. And that's where my 5 wins came from, because I was mocking you for not really having much of a definitive stance, because you said they could win between 5 and 11.
Yeah, you gave yourself a nice 6-game swing. So anything between 5 and 11, you can go, I told you. I told you this is how it was going to happen. And we can't really fight it.
And that's how I settled on 5.
I really didn't. I said I'd see for sure 7 games that this team is going to win. And I said there's 3 possibles out there. That's pretty much what I was stating.
Why do we all have such a difficult time locking into committed stances?
I know.
If we're wrong, it's not as if anything happens. You kind of get ridiculed a little bit. We do a funeral and we move on. It really isn't that bad, right? Yet we're always all so tentative and looking for loopholes to give ourselves quick outs on everything we say.
May I refer you to such things as the agony of defeat?
Yes.
As far as maybe my trepidation as to launching into these wagers. And now you're staring down the barrel of
Not even wagers, because the wagers are one thing. I'm just saying sometimes just committing to a take. Like sometimes we set a situation up where it's like, well, I like the Warriors to cover by 14, but, or I like this and that. And it's not, you're not wagering against anyone. It's just you want the outs on the take so that you don't get nailed down the road.
Because
the wagers are a different thing.
That's why Ray Rattle don't like to come on, because we put people in this, it's in our texters, our billions of listeners. You remember what he said? Crank up the music. They all
dearly beloved.
Yes, it's a tough show. If you say something, our listeners, my God,
accountability on the program.
But see,
we preach it. Society doesn't. That's what makes us better.
And sometimes it's better to not be accountable by saying, I think they could cover the 14.5, but I'm not that sure. I'm not going to lock it up.
Right.
But I like the pick.
I like it, but, it's not what I love. It's just tough. It'll be interesting to find out. That's the ultimate crutch. We're all guilty of it, and I note it every time it happens. And I'm not saying it's not me. It is me. Whenever you realize you're not that committed, the end of it is, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
But this is Sports Talk Radio. We can say about everything. Sidney and Guru are coming up next. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they talk about. Or we can just tell you that they're guest-free.
Right.
But interesting to see if they actually add a guest late.
Yeah.
You're right, though, Joe. That's one of my definite crutches.
That would be interesting.
But it's going to be interesting to see if they cover 14 tonight. 14.5. It'd be interesting to see. Because if we said, hey, it's 10 or 8.
But you know what? A lot of times, it actually wouldn't be interesting. That's the worst part.
If they win by 13 or 15.
And it turns out, if it happens or it doesn't, it really isn't that interesting. You know, it'd be interesting to see if they take Quinnen Williams at 2. No, it won't be that interesting. Because we talked about it for months.
Right.
It wouldn't be surprising at all. Welcome to town, big fella. We're all big fans. I don't know if that would be interesting. What would be interesting is if they took Kyler Murray at 2, because he was available. Then we're coming in and we're burning everything down. Speaking of which, latest update on Bet162, we're cooking. I am convinced. Now, I'm not going to lock it up, but it will be interesting to see if I can win every single bet the rest of the way out.
Because
I am scorching hot right now. I am hotter than a baked potato south in the sun.
That would be interesting.
4 wins in my last 5, and again, the only loss was the game they fixed on Saturday. Not even a 9-inning game. MLB had to rely on the weather to slow me down. Otherwise, it'd be 5 in a row. So, at one point last week, down just over $1,000. We have brought it all the way back yesterday, over 8.5. Some said I was crazy to play it over in a Giant game. Giants had like 12 home runs in that game yesterday. You could say crazy. I'd say crazy like a fox. That thing cashed. Courtesy of Pablo Sandoval, that solo shot to center field. Yeah. But it was a small... Yep, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add? Interesting to see if you have anything to add.
Yeah, because you know why I did
it's that? Interesting to see that you get your fourth flag of the day.
It wasn't. The reason why I did it, yeah, Joe, because someone in this room, I'm not going to say any names, said I would just take all the unders. And someone said logically, like, that would be, if I do that, why would I do that when we don't know certain situations? And like a good soldier, you went with the over, and there was a guy that always said, just go with the unders.
What's the Giants' record on the total this year, Lo? Now that you're disparaging my blanket undertake, what is their record on the over-under?
Dibs had said, some have said bet against the Giants in every game. Dibs said bet the under in every game.
Blanket unders.
It's not to say that those are false approaches. I, however, feel that if I were to do that, it takes away from the bit. If you know what the pick is every day, you kind of take a little bit of the value and the excitement out of it. Sometimes you're tuning
totally
into these
agree.
Games. Everyone's rooting against me. I've made this case. Even Hitler had supporters. I've got no supporters on this thing. The first guy in the history of Earth to have zero supporters. Seriously, find me a dictator anywhere. Find me the worst of the worst. They still had underlings. They had supporters. I've got none. My wife thinks this is stupid, really stupid. No one supports this. They're all rooting against me, but they can all kiss my left and right cheeks right now. What? Nothing wrong with that? Cheeks. You ever kiss your aunt on the cheek?
Oh, there you go. Cheek.
Pervs.
Shout out Mo Cheeks. Mount Cheeks more. That's coming up with Guru
Mount
and Steiny.
Mount Cheeks more, Mo Cheeks. Jonathan Cheek Chew.
That's pretty good.
Trying to force that one in there. Shout out the Sharks. Good win last night.
Quality.
Huge win.
Dynamite dropping.
By the way, the
history
Giants
was made.
The Giants have gone over the total, a grand total of 8 times this year. Eight times.
One third. They've played 24 games.
Yeah. So before you go ahead and try and disparage my approach, do a little homework, button yourself up before you try and take a swipe at the Dibber. It's gone under 4 of the last 5 and only 8 overs, Lo, the entire year.
One, you've got a discount. I'm not to take this away from you, but the rain out, you got a discount. Over-unders have to go 8 innings to count. So the game will be ruled official after 5, but you're still right. It's still a ton of unders. Your point is still correct. I just want to make sure that note is out there for the gamblers in the house. Now,
here's I'm giving you the Dame Lillard right now. Bye-bye.
Today's pick, if I can get a drum roll, please.
Sure.
It's the Giants for one unit. I like the Giants to win again today.
What?
The betting market, the percentage of the tickets all over Toronto, line drastically moving in favor of the Giants. And I got a tip this morning from a buddy who has access to an account in which a certain individual makes plays, and that certain individual may or may not be well-regarded for what he does for a living. He likes the Giants. He also likes the Giants on the run line. -1.5 today. I will not be doing that. I think they used up all their home runs yesterday, but it's Pomerantz versus Clay Buchholz. One unit, just one unit. We're going to take it nice and light. One unit, -120. Dibs, the prices are here.
Yeah, I see that.
-120 to win $100. Risk 120 to win 100. Today's official selection for one unit is the San Francisco Giants to defeat the Toronto Blue Jays.
Awesome. Good luck to you. Stay hot, Joe. And Lo, you stay hot, too, in your little association plays. It's good to see you guys doing so well. I'm really happy. Proud
You're
of
so it. Excited to get at it. Look at this
Have
dude.
Fun with your trip.
Thank you, brother.
Good luck. Are you allowed to say what it is?
Yeah,
or should
San Diego State, UCSD, and Cal are the final three schools that my son is weighing for next fall in college. So we're doing a little, thank you, Joe and Lo. We're doing a little San Diego run tomorrow to check out UCSD and San Diego State, and we'll take a look at Cal on Friday, and hopefully on Monday we'll have the big announcement on where he's going.
Awesome. Safe travels.
Thank you.
Good luck. Roxy Bernstein apparently joining us tomorrow. We're going to twist him up good.
Please
You're
explain.
Want to check that one out. We are going to twist him up good if he thinks he's walking into anything other than Thunderdome. Steiny and Guru are next. They're guest-free. For us, we're out. For Dibs, Lo, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everyone. As always, it is greatly appreciated. We will see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors. Clippers. Game 5.
Free for play!
Tonight at 7:30. Coverage starts at 6.
Curry a deep three. Why not?
Only on 95.7. The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.